David's Daily Digital Dollop, Dollop 92. Have sex and save the planet. I'm now over a quarter of the way through this project. Only 274 consecutive daily blog posts to go. Easy beansy. Hang on. No, that's not right, is it? It's easy peasy, isn't it? Sorry, I got peas and beans confused there. I've clearly been spending too much time with my lady friend at Sainsbury's. Oh yes, yet another hilarious joke courtesy of David's Daily Digital Dollop. What are you going to do with your lives when this project is over and you're not treated to jokes like that on a daily basis anymore? Anyway, you don't have to worry about that for a while. My frequent references to Sainsbury's has caused a little bit of disgruntlement with one Michael Wackington, who commented on Dollop 90 saying, "Sainsbury's? Not your local co-op?" When I first mentioned that I'd gone to Sainsbury's in these dollops, I was sure that someone would question my shopping habits, suggesting that I shouldn't be using supermarkets. This is the problem with going around the world singing all these songs of social conscience. People expect you to actually really have those values, rather than just the fact that, obviously, you only do it for financial gain. Conning the gullible lefty idiots out of their money. We tell them all sorts of nonsense, and they just lap it up, the feckless fools. Our CDs are made out of biodegradable material and contain 100% organic music, recorded in a studio which is powered purely by the sun. Actually, this statement isn't entirely false, although what the gullible lefty idiots don't know is that when I say the sun, I am not referring to solar power, but the fact that our albums are funded by Rupert Murdoch's tabloid newspaper. In fact, if you listen to our albums in reverse, you'll discover that it's littered with subliminal, sensationalist, factually inaccurate right-wing propaganda. The only reason none of the folk magazines or radio stations have outed us is because of our connections with Murdoch, meaning that we've got access to everyone's personal phone calls and data, and we've amassed a large archive of incriminating evidence, which we're ready to unleash on the public if word gets out. One false move from Mark Radcliffe, and we'll reveal what he got up to in Soho in July 2010. One tiny remark from Mike Harding, and you'll all get to hear about that thing with a goat in August 2012. There's a reason why we won the BBC Radio 2 Folk Award last year. You didn't think it was because of talent, did you? We're hardly going to win the Folk Award on merit, at least not until we ditch Michael. And we'll win it this year as well, unless one of the other nominated bands has done a similar deal with a reputable tabloid publication. Anyway, the reason I shop at Sainsbury's, Michael Wackington, is because it is only a 5 minutes walk away from where I live. Plus, it is well staffed, meaning that it's easy for me to get help from someone, because being blind, I need someone to get the things for me. My nearest co-op is over a mile away, and it is nowhere near as big or as well staffed, meaning that it would probably be more difficult to get someone to go around with me and do the shopping. In my defence, when I was living in Manchester, I used to shop at all of the independent stores in my street. Also, at that time I was in a relationship with a girl who lived right next to a co-op. I know, check me out. In fact, that's the reason we started going out. She mentioned her proximity to the co-op, and I instantly became sexually aroused. She'd inadvertently discovered my sexual Achilles heel, and I just couldn't resist. The next thing I knew, we were both naked. Let's just say that the shop wasn't the only thing in her street that night that was cooperative. I'm suggesting that we had sex, just in case the joke was too subtle for you there. Let's just say that the shop wasn't the only thing in her street that night that was doing special offers, eh? I'm referring to sex again there. I don't want you to miss these jokes because they're too clever for your unsophisticated mind. Let's just say that it wasn't just the prices in the shop in her street that were dropping that night. That's a joke about her dropping her knickers because we had sex. So naturally her knickers had to come down to facilitate the sex. Okay? You're catching on to what's going on now, yeah? Right, okay. Well, let's see if you can spot the next one without me. Let's just say that the shop wasn't the only thing in her street that night that was hosting a blowout sale. No? You're struggling? That's a reference to oral sex. Like a blowout. Yeah. Like a blowout sale. Blowout. Keep trying, you'll get there. I know I'm very quick and very clever with a comedy. Don't worry, don't beat yourself up about it. You'll get there. Let's just say that the shop wasn't the only thing in her street that was open all night. Yeah, you got that one. Well done. Excellent. Let's just say that the shop wasn't the only thing in her street that night that was experiencing unexpected items in the bagging area. Ha ha! You're struggling with that one. That's fine. Let's work through it slowly together, shall we? So, you know how those self-service checkouts often say unexpected items in the bagging area, yeah? Well, I'm taking that well-known phrase and reappropriating it in a sexual context, which could be interpreted as suggesting that we were engaging in anal sex, or alternatively, that I was inserting various objects into her. It's all, you know, it's open to individual interpretation. It's sort of an open-ended punchline that allows a joke's recipient to create their own meaning, arguably making it even cleverer there. Let's just say that the shop wasn't the only thing in her street that night that... I think I've run out. Even a comedy genius like me has his limits. Feel free to insert your own. Oh, which, come to think of it, is one of the things that she said to me that night. I'm unstoppable! So, if it's any consolation for Michael Wackington, when I was going out with my girlfriend, we would often shop at the Co-op. If you feel as if me shopping at Sainsbury's is in some way unethical, blame it on my ex-girlfriend for breaking up with me. If we were still together, then I'd still be shopping at the Co-op. In fact, we'd probably be buying even more food than before, because we'd be comfort eating in order to take our minds off our miserable, failing relationship. I'll text her and suggest that we get back together. After all, we owe it to the planet. My ex-girlfriend reads this from time to time, and she comments on it now and again. I know, she's obviously clearly regretting her decision now that she's seen just how funny I am with these daily dollops. So perhaps she will get in touch with me, and then we can restart our previous failed relationship simply in order to save the world. And obviously, we'll have to have lots of sex. Not because we want to, or in any way still have feelings for each other, but because the more sex we have, the more condoms we buy from the Co-op, making our ethical cause all the more stronger. In fact, why don't we go the whole hog, which, come to think of it, was another of the things that she said to me that night, and get married. We could have a cooperative wedding with everything sourced from the Co-op. All the food, the confetti. We could have one of the DJs on the Co-op store's radio station doing the wedding disco. And then it probably wouldn't be too long before we'd get on each other's tits again, due to us being essentially utterly incompatible, meaning that we'd drive each other insane and end up killing each other. Of course, this would be great news for the cooperative, because we'd already have given instructions to our families that in the event of our deaths, we'd want a lavish funeral, provided, of course, by cooperative funeral care. A perfect, flawless, ethical, world-saving plan. I'm sure you'll agree, Michael Wackington. As long as I don't die before my 366th daily consecutive blog post, I am happy to marry my ex-girlfriend, with a view to us killing each other at the start of 2017. I await her comments with interest. Michael also asked me if I'd tasted the Australian fruit, the finger lime, while I was down under, which sadly I didn't, as I wasn't aware that it existed until now. If Peter Kay wants the finger lime line, I can split the royalties with you, writes Michael. Excellent thinking, Michael. Although I think the fruit might be a little bit too niche for the English fans, but I'm sure it would go down a treat in Australia, assuming, of course, that the Australian audiences have sophisticated enough comedy palates to appreciate the joke. But I can hear it now. I also want to buy a finger lime. What? A what? Finger lime? Pause to heighten the tension, make the audience wait for the big laugh that they're teetering on the brink of. Finger? Lime? Another pause to create further anticipation. Lime? Finger? Finger? As in, like, a lime that tastes of a finger? No, thank you. I mean, I wouldn't imagine it would taste very nice. Huge eruption of laughter and 30 minutes of wild applause. Obviously, I don't have the skills of delivery to do the joke justice, but Peter Kay would tear the place apart with that one. Well done, Michael Wackington. Excellent to have you on board. Finger lime.
Finger lime.
Finger lime. No, I've got to deliver it better than that. You see, Peter Kay... we'll do it a lot better. Finger? Lime? I'm not getting it, am I? Finger? Lime? No, that was better. That was good. No, I think it's best to leave it in the hands of the professional.